There's kind of two ways that I would end up titling this. The one that will jump to your mind pretty quickly is giving alms. So this is the way that the Bible addresses it. This is the word the Bible uses. We would say offerings. And so this obviously is beginning to talk about some things that are, we wouldn't say that the things that are dearest to our heart. We would always pick our families and things like that. But the truth is, this is pretty close to us as well. But there's, I think, a message that God wants us to get. And I pray that he helps us to get it out. And I think a second title to the lesson could probably help in that. So let's give it a second title. And let's say... generosity. You know, this is really what the Lord is wanting. He wants a generous people. And giving an alms is something you can just reach into your pocket and do. But being generous is something that takes a change in your spirit. It takes a releasing of things of this world. And it takes a passion for the Lord and for who he is. In other words, it takes us living the way we're supposed to be living, by the Spirit and not just by letter of law, okay? So we want to think about it this way, giving of alms, but generosity. 2 Corinthians, we'll pick up our first verses here. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. And we will just pick up something here first in the 7th verse, but then we're going to read several of these scriptures. Well, let's just read them together, maybe that's best, then we'll put that out. So start in the 6th verse. It says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly." And one of our first principles here of what the Lord is trying to get through to us, and why we don't just call it giving of alms, why we title it generosity, is that the Lord is waiting to bless our lives. That's his whole mission. And in every way that we open up and follow him, then we free him up then to bless us. As he said in other places, "See if I won't open up the storehouses for you." All right, so there are blessings that God wants to give, and part of his blessings are tied to our willingness to sow, and specifically to sow in terms of giving of alms, of generousness, of being willing to share what we have, what God, we say that, what God has given to us. There's so much tied up in that right there to start with, but let me just say that generosity is one way we don't get ever get sidetracked. Generosity is the way that we make it to heaven and don't fall short like the young rich young ruler, because our heart is tied to the things. Generosity is something that allows us to enjoy blessings even financially from God sometimes, and not ever let them allow us to be taken off track in our life and taken away, that what the Lord would want to give us ends up being a curse and not a blessing in our life. And so this is one of the first principles coming out here that I feel like God has given us to share today, is he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. You are actually opening up the door to God's blessings in your life by how much you're willing to give. Are you attached or are you not? What are you attached to? You know, if you're attached to God, then the generosity flows easier. Let's say this right. If you're just fully attached to God in every way, then along with everything else in life that God is trying to do, generosity is going to flow easily in your life.
Yes.
The truth is, God touches things that aren't fully attached sometimes the way they need to be, and they hinder the flow of that part of our life. And so in the terms of generosity, we don't want to be hindered. We don't want to just kind of try to semi-do this thing. We want to attach to God fully in this aspect in our life so that he's just free, so that we're completely detached from what he's putting in our life And it's not restricted in any ways, the blessings of God flowing in our life. They can just flow through in this way in our life as well, and be a blessing to us and a blessing to others. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Thank the Lord. So Lord, help us to be fully attached to God in the midst of everything that He's given us, so that He can just freely use it to bless us and those around us, and not ever let it be something that's hindering us in our walk with the Lord. All right? So then in the seventh verse, it goes on and it says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. Every man according as he purposes in his heart. This is not just tied to our pocketbooks and to our pockets. This is the burden the Lord wanted me to give. We're not just talking about just giving alms. This is about the spiritual aspect of this and how this is tied to our hearts here. And it's a necessity that we practice this in life and learn better how to practice it and be willing to learn it the way God wants us to learn it, because it's coming from our heart. And it says, keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Well, it'll be manifested in life, but he's talking about something more than this world. He's talking about life everlasting. The issues of life everlasting stem from the heart and how free it is to just be attached to God completely. And that's where it can be blessed and healthy and be everything that it's supposed to be. So Lord, help us to understand that. And that's why God is not looking for us just to pull another thing out of our pocket, so to speak. He's looking for a people who are fully attached to Him. And this is part of it. All right? So He asks that every man according as he purposes in heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. It's not about God. And it's not even about God's work. It's not about God, and it's not even about God's work. Lord, help us to make this point the right way. All right, because the things that we give can be a blessing and used for God's work in our life. But it's not about that, all right? It's about our heart being free. This is why God is speaking to us, pleading to us to not shun this part of our life, not just kind of, like we do sometimes, maybe tempted to fiddle with it a little bit and adjust it. But just let God be free completely in our life to do what He wants to do. You may not give a dime for several months. I don't know. I don't think that's necessarily the best practice, but that's not what the message is about this morning, okay? You may not give a dime for several months, but do what the Lord wants you to do with it. Give Him full reign and full control of it. Who knows where it is that He wants to use it? This, again, is not God saying, make sure you're giving here or here or here. But it's saying, make sure you're not attached. Make sure God is in full control of that part of your life to do whatever He wants to do with it. And then do it with a joyful heart. Go knowing that this is the Lord working in your life. He cares about this part of your life too. And He wants to work and bless in it. But He's got to be free. He's got to be free. God does not impose Himself on anybody. And He's not going to impose Himself on this part of your life either. If you want the blessings of God, you can have them. But you are going to have, and I'm going to have to decide to let God be free to do what He will do. It's not getting what I need to just say, well, I'm going to give this much here and I'm going to give this much here. I'm not saying those aren't bad practices. Those can be wonderful practices. But what we need to be doing is saying, Lord, where do You want me to give what in my life? Teach me, show me who needs what. Lord, let me send it where You want it to be sent. Let me use it how You want to be used. There may be time God says, you know what? Your family needs it right now. Well, that's fine. It's not about us. It's about the Lord being free to do what He sees needs to be done in your life. And in this particular aspect where we're talking about finances, we're talking about your pocketbook. God needs freedom there to do what He sees needs to be done for you. For your life, because that's what this message is about, is God being able to bless you. And I'm not going to decide how he's able to bless you. I'm not a bit of my actions going to decide that. You're not going to decide how God's able to bless me in this respect. Thank, and don't misunderstand me. I know in this position, thank God for everything that's been that everybody's done for everybody here. But the decision of how God is going to be able to bless is going to be by each one of our choices in our life when it comes to our pockets and how God is free there to work and to use. So this is about God blessing us, each one of us here. But you know, for the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So, a couple of things here. Because what's going to happen if God is really free to work in this aspect in our life, then you're going to see the work of God prosper, and you're going to see His graces prosper in your life. So, there's going to be evidence of things happening. Maybe no one else will ever know, but what I mean is in the kingdom of God, there's going to be a whole realm of angels that see things happening that we may not be seeing. And there's going to be the Lord seeing things happening that we may not see because of these choices that we're making. All right, that will happen. All right, what I'm going to get out of it is that, what does it say here? He is able to make all grace abound. You know, I can pile up a lot of cash, and it's never going to give me the grace I need to make it through situations in life. I can pile up a lot of retirement. I can pile up a lot of things. I can pile up a lot of charity in my life, and it never be able to make the grace of God abound for me. But in this aspect, when I, with joy in my heart, and it may, I want to kind of quantify it a little bit. You may have to make some of these decisions to start with, kind of with some, you know, maybe some hesitancy. But like God said, just see what I won't do. See if you won't see this happen. If I come with joy before the Lord and say, Lord, I just want you to be completely free in every way to do whatever you see needs to be done with my finances as well in my life. All right? And so then see if it doesn't have an effect on the grace of God in your life. See if then His work doesn't prosper in ways that it can never prosper when we're just giving alms. And I don't want to talk that down. Thank God for everyone who makes it. Part of what God teaches us to do as we give Him freedom will probably be some consistent use of our funds in certain ways. Okay, so I'm not talking about that. But it's that freedom God's given. With no, look, Lord, it's yours. I'm not going to say you can have this much. I'm going to say, Lord, show me where you want me to give and what you want me to give. Yes. All right? Show me. That's the freedom we're talking about. That's the burden I have from the Lord, that's the way we participate with Him in this manner and in this action. So then see if it doesn't have an effect. See if the work of God doesn't prosper. Because God's going to be, like, if anybody knows where to send it, right? God knows where to send it. But He can take care of that again on His own. He's just wanting you to have your blessing from this. He's wanting to be able to be free to bless you. And that's why He's trying to draw us all into this in the way that we should be. All right? But then us personally, the graces of God working in our life and having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Man, there are investments all around us that have worth incomprehensible that God's wanting us to get to be a part of. That's what He's saying to us. That's what He's saying. There are investments in with worth incomprehensible all around us, and He's wanting us to get to be a part of that, to participate in those funds. Though, you know, you got the hedge funds, you got all these different kind of funds. I don't even know all the names for them out there. You got all these different places. God's got those of eternal worth lying all around us. We'll never know how to just reach into our pocket and do what's necessary. It's going to take letting God be free in your life. Lord, here's a chance. Here's an opportunity. Lord, you're laying on my heart to do so. I didn't even realize, I don't even see now that this might be an issue. But Lord, you're laying on my heart to go do this thing. Lord, I want to go do it. I'll do it. I don't know what it is, but God, I believe, I have faith in you, and as you guide me, I want you to have freedom to do that, because I want to be able to be a part of your work. I want to invest in the opportunities that you have laid all around me. You know, this sufficiency here, this word sufficiency, it means self-satisfaction, contentedness. This is where it is. There's a level of contentedness that God can't really give to us until he has this kind of freedom in our life. A contentment it's kind of like where Paul said, whether I live or die, I'm the Lord's. You know, this too, along these lines too, whether I live or die, I'm the Lord's. Whether I have or I have not, I'm the Lord's. It's the Lord's. So what do I have to be stressed about? What do I have to be worried about? What do I have to fear? Because I'm detached. I'm detached. The Lord is the one who supplies my needs in life. Sometimes he supplies them in obvious ways to me, and sometimes I'm wondering where that came from. But the Lord supplies. So what do I have to fear? It's contentedness, at peace, at rest. God wants us at rest in this matter too. He wants us. He doesn't want to see our pockets bringing us down and discouraging us or troubling us in life. He wants to have us to have the blessing of peace and contentment in that manner too. And here's how it's going to happen. And it won't really happen until this is how we're living before him in our lives. Okay? So, there's another thing though here. Because there's a level... Well, let's just read this verse up here in 2 Corinthians. He's speaking to, he says a chaos here. This is the Corinthians. All right, this is the area that they lived in, okay? And so he's speaking of them. He says, for I know the forwardness of your mind, which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that a chaos, that you were ready a year ago. They were participating in taking up a collection for the saints that were at Jerusalem because... there was trouble there. There was a need there. Okay, so there's this effort going out to supply for them and everything. And so he's saying, I know the forwardness of your mind, which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that okay, I was ready a year ago. That you were like, let's do it. let's do it. Let's help. Let's be a part here. Let's do what we can do to help in this need that God has shown us. All right? And he said, your zeal has provoked many. You know, there's a fact when we live free before God and we really have a life that the Lord's in control of everything. Of course, this morning we're focusing on finances. That's the burden that God has given us, all right? Okay, and that specific part of a life, when we live free before the Lord in that manner, there's a zeal from our desire to just do what the Lord wants us to do. To just be willing to give as little or much as he calls for in every situation, that there's a zeal from that provokes others. Because it's no longer, you can see the testimony of this being about God and about him working in my life and not just about my pocketbooks will be evident. It will come out and it will inspire the people of God. It encourages us all together to pursue that same path in our life. And to live that way. And the Lord's just able to, once he's blessing one person, then somebody else starts, he's blessing another. You know, those add up. They don't stay restricted just to our life. They add up and they flow amongst the people of God just like his Spirit does. And it's an encouragement and it provokes. And this provoke here is not, makes everybody mad. It's not what it's saying. I probably need to stop and make sure and make that clear. This is provoking people to say, like, look at what God's doing for them. Look at the blessing in their life. I want some of that. I want to live that way too. I want to live there. And it encourages people to take those same paths in our life. You know, we can encourage each other much more by our actions than by And when I say actions, by the Spirit that is within us and the actions that it leads to, than by any actions that we are just taking on our own, or any words that we're saying on our own. Our actions, when led by the Spirit of God, have a way to flow amongst us that never can happen when it's just us. But once the Lord is free and He's flowing in our lives, it brings a whole nother level. You know, I want to read a couple of instances in the Old Testament here. We need the Lord to help us. 2 Chronicles 24. And we feel like reading these to understand that doing this the way the Lord wants us to is a direct link to things getting done in the kingdom of God. You know, when I walk around with the right spirit and the right attitude, it has an effect on my ability to interact with others just like that. You know what I'm talking about? Like a soft answer turneth away wrath. So when the Spirit of God's working in my life and He's manifesting His Spirit and all those attitude things, all right, which is kind of His too, but anyways, and those attitude things, and I have peace and I have long-suffering and I have gentleness and I have goodness and I have temperance. When I have those things, there's a path there for the work of the Lord to get done in my life and in the life of those that I'm around specifically. If I don't have those aspects and I'm trying to share the gospel, I'm going to have a hard time sharing the gospel with other individuals when I don't have peace and I don't have long-suffering and I don't have temperance. Things aren't getting done in the kingdom of God when I'm struggling with those issues and not giving them the attention they need to have in my life, because we all struggle with them from time to time. And the Lord has to help us grow in those aspects. All right? This is another way. When the Lord's free in my life, then there are things that can get done in His kingdom. But when not, there's some issues. Here's an episode, some examples of how it directly links by the choices they make and the things that got done. 2 Chronicles 24 and the 7th verse. This was right after Ataliah, the queen, had killed all, she thought she had killed all the seed royal, all the king's sons and everything, but there was one, Joash, that wasn't. And so the sons of Ataliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam. And at the king's command, now this is after they deposed of her, and at the king's command they made a chest and set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring into the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced. They could have had a different attitude. But there's something here where, that, you know what, we're more connected to God. And this is a joy to us to see there's an opportunity to do something about this situation that had happened and how the Lord's house had been destroyed. There's an opportunity here to see the house of the Lord built. All right? And so they rejoiced, and they brought in and cast into the chest until they had made it in. Now it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought into the king's office by the hand of the Levites, when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest officers came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. And thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. And the king and Jehoiada, this was the high priest there, gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. And so the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them, and they set the house of God in his state and strengthened it. And when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof were made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and offer withal, spoons and vessels of gold and silver, and they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. The message went out, there was a joy. There is an opportunity. We are more attached to God, and we want to see His house built. That's what we want. And so here's a chance to see that happen. And they with joy brought it in, and the situation was changed. There was a direct link between their willingness You know, what if they just said, well, y'all just pray for or something, you know, besides send some money, all right? But they said, send some money. And these people could have said, no, I like it. I don't want to, or I'm going to send this much. But they with joy sent an amount. And he took care of the situation, and the house of the Lord was built. It's a direct relation. That's what I feel like the Lord's trying to get to us through these verses here, to see it, to see to the joy, to the willingness to come forward. Not just that they sent, but they came with joy. And they just came given for this opportunity, and it happened. The house of the Lord was built. All right? 2 Chronicles 31. Similar instance here. 2 Chronicles 31 and 1 through 8. All right? And so this is where Hezekiah has come to the throne, so to speak, and there's some work that needs to be done. All right? And it says, 31 and 1, now while all this was finished, all Israel that were present went out to the cities of Judah and break down the images and pieces and cut down the groves and threw down the high places. It's another situation where the Lord had been pushed to the side. And I wonder how much of it was that they could just spend their money the way they wanted to. Now, I don't know. I'm not going to say it was. But they obviously went and spent it on other stuff, didn't they? I mean, that's a message we have here, that they pushed the Lord aside and spent it on other things. All right? And they had built all these idols and everything. So they went out first and then threw down all those things there in the first chapter. And then the first verse. And then the second verse, Hezekiah appointed the course of the priests and the Levites after the courses. Every man according to his service, the priests, the Levites, for burnt offerings, for peace offerings, to minister, to give thanks, to praise. He appointed also the king's portion of his substance for the burnt offerings. See, here he is. He's into this thing. All right, he's given of himself. To wit, for the morning and the evening burnt offerings, the burnt offerings for the Sabbath, for the new moons, for the set feast, as written in the law of the Lord. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwell in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. So they had it here, but Hezekiah saw, guys, there's a direct relation between them just having the law of the Lord and to them being encouraged into it. And part of it is how willing we are to part with our substances and send it to them. All right? And so as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance, the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field. And tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep, and the tithe of holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord and laid by their heaps. And in the third month they began to lay the foundation of the heaps and finished them in the seventh month. And when Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. The message went out. The people had a chance. We have a chance. God's sending his message to us. All right? And this message this morning is not about, again, us just opening our pocketbooks and just supporting the thing that's closest to us. It's not what this is about. This is about us taking the opportunities to open the door, to set the Lord free, so that we can open the door for his blessings in our life. And if we do that, there's a direct relation that we begin to see things happening. All right? There's a direct relation, just like it happened in the Old Testament. We're not talking about things of this physical world. We may see some things there, but some things happening spiritually. That's what this type is. This type here is not for, we're in the process of a building process. Oh, God bless that. All right? But this type is about the house of the Lord. It's about the souls of men. It's about our soul. It's about the souls around us. It's about the souls we don't have a clue are out there searching and looking for something. Part of the Lord being free to bless and work in our life and us to be a part of that is a willingness to set him free. Remember, not just reach in our pockets and do something, but say, Lord, have your way. Let me know. If there's somebody, there's a broke down mother on the side of the road and they just look like they need something, the Lord gives me a chance to do something in their life, little or much, am I willing to stop and do that? If there's a gentleman that just the Lord has made some contact with me and him and you know, it's just beginning to see there's a need in his life. Lord, it goes, and I don't even have these verses, but into the verses in John that say, if you see your brother have need, Is it John? Maybe James. I'm sorry. Whichever. It's one of those two in the first John or the letters of John or in James. You see your brother have need and you say, the Lord bless you. But you walk away and you don't do anything. You see how what the word there is, we can be so easily free, and that's wonderful. We want to be free in all those aspects of our life and the way we interact with people, but we want to be free in this aspect too. That Lord has control of this too. And if there's something before I walk away that needs to be done, that the Lord's free to show me, hey, do this here. But Lord, I want to do this much. And the Lord's saying, just do this. Just do this. Don't do that. Then don't do this. All right? Do this. The best you know how. Do what God's showing you to do. Not because you're trying to restrict Him, but because you're it's something more than the money or the finances that you're about to impart. Because your mission is not about that and making sure a certain amount of that gets out of my hands into the Lord's every month. But it's about the Lord doing whatever it is He's trying to do. And whatever my part that I get to play in it, He's free in my life. He's free to show me this or He's free to show me this. And that's what I want to do is what the Lord has shown me, because I want to see the house of the Lord built. That's my goal. I don't want anybody saying, man, what a nice person. He gave me this much. That's not what I'm trying to do. I want to see the house of the Lord built. I want to see souls saved. I want to see lives changed. I want my life to change for the Lord. There's growth. I'm not done. I don't know about you, but I'm not done yet. There's things I want the Lord to do in my life. There's things I want to see Him change. I want to be better at this. I want to know more how to do it the way He would do it in my life. I don't want anything hindering that. I want to see it fully free and flowing in my life. So I want to be able to do what the Lord is showing me to do in everything. And specifically this morning, we're talking about finances. There's a direct correlation to how the house of the Lord is being built in my life. All right, Luke 6. Luke 6 and 38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You know, this is about more than just finances. This particular verse, if you go back up and you read, and that's something I hope you've heard this morning. I feel like we're trying to complete the picture of the image of Christ in our life, and this morning we're talking about the part of that that has to do with finances. But it's not to get unfocused and think that's what it's all about. It's just the part I feel like that God's putting His finger on this morning. But it's that being that complete child of God in every way. And if you look at the verses before that, it's what Jesus was trying to get a message across to us. Of Him being free to lead us and have us act in all ways towards others the way that He wants us to. To be willing to give ourselves. Do you know when you love your enemies, you're giving of yourself. I mean, all of these things, it takes that willingness, not me, but Lord, what can I do for you? What would you have me do? It's just that, you know, we can love our enemies and do all those things, but this is part of it too. God being free in every aspect of our life, and specifically financially. And He says if he's free, and you, that's the kind of life you're living, then He's got you. All right? Whatever you need, the Lord's going to supply in your life. You don't have to worry that you're going to sit here and give. If my enemy punches me in the left cheek and I turn the right one to him, I don't have to worry that God's going to be like, well, what'd you do that for? He knows why I did it. He knows why I did it. He knows I did it not because it's my nature, but because it's what He told me to do. And I'd rather have Him flowing in my life than me. What me would do is something a little different than turn the other cheek. All right? But what God said to do was turn the other cheek. And I want Him free. I want God free in my life. I want Him in any way He can teach me, anything He can show me. I want to be willing to do it. I'm willing to sacrifice who I am so that as I give that to God, I can watch Him give back to me abundantly and above what I've given to him. That's the Lord said that over and over in his word, and he's saying it in red letters right now to us. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. 1 Kings 17. The 13th verse here. All right. And this is where Elijah was with the widow lady. And he says, look, fetch me a little water and bring me a morsel of bread. And she says, I don't have anything. I was just fixing to go dress the little bit I had left. And then me and my son were just going to eat it and die. And Elijah, you know what? That's the fear that the devil and our own minds just try to put it in us as we come to this point where we're just freeing God up to work in life. He does it about the whole turning the other cheek thing as much as he does it about finances. All right? He does it about everything. All right? You know what? You're going to end up you're going to eat this little morsel here that God's telling you to do, and then you're going to die. That's all you've got. That's it. You're going to turn the other cheek. They're going to hit you, and you're going to walk away bruised. And that's what's going to happen. And that's what God wants you to be, is a bruised person walking around with bruises all over your cheek for the rest of your life. That's why he told you to turn the cheek. No. He told you to turn the cheek so that you could reign on earth and for eternity with him. A child of the king. That's why God told you to turn the other cheek, so that he could bless you overly and abundantly above. And you know what? That's what he's trying to do in this aspect too. All right? So she said, we're just going to eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it to me. I think it's interesting. He said, no, go ahead and make your cake, but first make me just a little cake. I mean, it doesn't have to be big. Just, are you willing to give to me first? And in aspect, Elijah was a prophet. And in the Old Testament, the prophet was the voice of God. He was more than just that person. God chose somebody to speak through, and they were to be seen as a representation of him. Not because of them and because they were some great person, but because God chose them and used them, all right? And so he said, go make me one first and bring it unto me after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. You may not have a bunch. What is it that matters to you? If you're attached to your finances and to your wealth, this ain't going to be attractive. You're going to have some struggles. You're going to have, and you know what? Probably we are going to struggle with that a little bit, but that's where we lay down who we are and trust the Lord and give it to him. And so he said, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. And more that when I said that, I meant more about being content. Lord, I'll just be content. Whatever you give me, I'm going to know that's enough, and you've got me, and I'll be content with it. All right? The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which she spake by Elijah. At this point in her life, because this went on for a while, there were others who had more than she. But I guarantee you there were those who ended up not having as much. That's the message God is trying to teach us. He will take care of us. He's got this in his hands. Are you willing to accept the little he may give you? But know that it's enough. Are you willing to be content in him? All right? If you are, then God can bless you the rest of your days. And the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. Y'all know how much will be in there, but it'll be enough all the rest of your days. All right? And so then let's look over here in Mark, the 12th chapter. And I know the hour's getting late. I just have a couple more section of verses here and we'll be done. Mark 12, 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. So So this part of it is, it's not about the amount, y'all. It's about your detachment from it, your willingness to do what the Lord shows you. I don't know why this lady came, and we're going to read the story. We know this story. She gave all she had. That's what she did. The Lord saw it. The Lord saw that it wasn't about the amount. It was about the fact that she was detached. She was attached to the Lord and detached from this. And it came a certain poor widow and cat threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you, this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance. But she of her want did cast in all that she hath, even all her living. The Lord knows. He knows what you're doing. He knows if you're willing, if he's free or not in your life in this aspect. The Lord knows. You don't have anything to prove to me. You don't have anything to prove to anybody sitting around you. The Lord knows whether you're willing or not. This is what the message is about. Let's be willing. Let's be willing before it. Not just in word, but in deed, in action, in true spirit of our heart. Lord, you're in control. Have your way. 1 Timothy 6. It's our last verse here. All right, 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, says, charge them that are rich in this world. Now, before we read this, you cannot buy your way into heaven. But as a child of God washed in the blood of the Lamb, you can be attached to your money, and you can see the hindrances that it brings in your life, and it very possibly can steal your soul. Or you can say, Lord, whatever you're giving me, let it be yours. Let it be used the way you want to. And that's what this verse is talking about. That's what this verse is talking about. It says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up. Okay, so that they're free, that God's in control to do what he wants to do. And they're like, okay, Lord, yes, you lead me this way. I want to do it because it's not mine. It's yours. And if it's this much or it's this, whatever you want to do, Lord. But here's what's happening when we live that way. It says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. This is part of it. All right. I can sit here and I can let my money drag me down. I can let my finances drag me down. I can let the things of this world in that aspect drag me down. Or I can set the Lord free to lay up stores, a foundation against the times to come and eternal life to lead me down this path. This is why the Lord is bringing this message this morning. It's not about this number going up. It's not about there being a certain amount that we're putting in any certain place, but it's about the Lord being free in our life to do whatever it is that he's trying to do. I want him free in mine. Pray for me that I'll be willing to set the Lord free in every way. But this morning, this is the message he sent to us. So I'm asking the Lord to help me to be willing to allow him to be free in this way in my life as well. You pray for me.